Hello and welcome to the T3 podcast, formerly known as the People's Democratic Republic of T3 Podcasting. Coming up on this week's show, is HTC about to snap up Palm? It all makes sense to us. UK iPad delays, greedy Americans snap up every last Apple slate and use them as dinner plates, no doubt. Sony unveils an affordable 3D TV lineup in time for the World Cup, but snubs England games for its 3D filming and more from the Gadget Show Live, including the launch of a Wii for your PC. All that and whatever else we try and squeeze in. So let me introduce my two co-hosts, the one and only Luke Peters and the man they call when the man from Del Monte says no. It's T3's Mr. Duncan Bell. Welcome.
Hello.
Good morning.
So Duncan, back from a hard week in Birmingham.
It was bloody hard.
I imagine nothing could have dented that shiny, happy exterior of yours at the NEC.
You'd think that.
anything you care to raise this week?
I've got a health and safety tip this week. Yeah. This is on returning. This wasn't at the NEC. Although Luke did see somebody, all of the stages, all the areas of the NEC at the Gadget Show Live are on slightly raised plinths.
Oh, God, yeah.
Which are a disaster waiting to happen. And Luke actually witnessed somebody basically land on their face.
Right in front of me.
Yeah, I saw that as well. He was carrying a drink, I think, and it flew.
Yeah. I think they might want to look at that next year, to be honest.
It was a middle-aged woman.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah. So not even funny.
So hold on. So we've each independently seen someone faceplant. And I mean faceplant. That kind of faceplant. Where you haven't got time to put your arms out.
Yeah,
it's like,
you hit the ground first and then put your arms out.
Yeah. Classic.
So that's one health and safety tip. I've got, I don't always have the most luck with technology, as you know, and this week I managed to make my keyboard explode on my computer. Yeah.
I thought these were always myths.
I managed to make it explode because, and this was almost a 10 million to one chance of this happening, and if I tried to replicate this in a laboratory, it would be impossible. But I had a USB cable that I'd had something plugged into, phone, I think it was, and it was just dangling. It was still plugged into the back of my computer, but it was just dangling. And I've got a pair of loudspeakers either side of my computer, so I can annoy my neighbours whilst I'm working from home or whatever. And it touched the cable, the terminals for the cable on the back of the loudspeaker. It touched both of them at once, shorted out, and the keyboard literally...
Wow.
Dead. There was I had this creative Zen sound card thingy plugged into one end. Dead. Killed it stone dead. I also had the lucky thing, so I wasn't really too bothered. I've got a spare keyboard and the creative thing, whatever. But I had my iPod plugged in as well, so it could have totaled that, but luckily the iPod survived.
Did you have rubber-soled trainers on?
Mm.
I wasn't touching the keyboard at the time, luckily. Yeah, no, that would have been the ultimate. Sparks flying out of my head. It'd be like the last scene in The Fly where he gets sort of mutated into a kind of human stroke piece of equipment, kind of hideous mutant.
It could happen.
Yeah, well, next time. Yeah, so health and safety notice, kids. Don't leave USB cables trailing from your computer.
Well, they are full of useful information, Dunk.
And if anybody wants a signed by me keyboard that doesn't work...
Shorted
might
out.
Might as well try and turn it into a, you know.
We did meet at the Gadget Show quite a few listeners.
Yeah, fans. They all seem to be teenage boys, but
yes, mainly. There were a few more senior listeners as well.
Yeah.
That we met. One called Duncan, ironically.
Really?
Yeah.
No. I was at the T3 stand and a guy, we had thousands of people looking at what we had on show there. But one guy came over and said, "Is that Duncan Bell?" And I said, yeah, that's him. Do you recognise him? No. But I know his voice.
You see.
Rounded and distinctive tones. I actually lost my voice after the... Well, not completely, but I was well croaky on Monday because it's so dry in there, and you spend the whole time you're there talking, stroke shouting, stroke whatever.
Exactly.
Is that after saying the iPad's a lovely thing 4,000 times?
I think it might have been RSI of the vocal cords. Yeah. Yes, it is heavier than you expect it to be, isn't
Everyone
it? The number of times
it,
I said that.
Well, anyway, on to our top story. And it is the news that once again, Palm. The once giant Palm could be gobbled up.
Giant Palm.
Yes, by the new big boy in town, HTC, in preparation for a final face-off with Apple. Gents, let me read you this quote from HTC's chief financial officer, Chen Qiuming. An HTC OS is an avenue HTC will continue to assess, but one that requires a few conditions to justify. Well, one of those conditions may just have been met, because Palm, along with the Palm Pre's operating system and its many, many patents, is up for sale.
Yeah.
A marriage made in heaven, you could say. HTC's clout mixed with Palm's rather sexy operating system.
Maybe, except HTC have quite a good... Well, I don't know, what do you call something like Sense? I suppose it's not an operating system,
well,
it's
a
UI, but it's...
HTC have done nice things, but always with other people's UIs. You know, they put Sense on top of Windows Mobile, yeah. It's on top of Android. They haven't got their own operating system.
Okay. We actually asked HTC about this today, and we got rather short shrift, actually. It was very no comment, so I don't want to say that HTC even have any interest in buying Palm.
Well, about to declare it,
No, but if they did, the problem would be that what is the main thing that everybody looks for in a phone, as a unit at the moment, is apps. And what has basically killed Palm, or what is one of the things that's killed Palm, is as good as the Pre is, it doesn't have any apps.
Yeah, it hasn't got that. But that's why someone with the clout, the size of HTC that it is now, that could drive apps on Palm OS.
I don't think so. And I think HTC would be better off sticking with Android and Winmo, personally.
I totally agree. They've done such a good job of it. And even if they have slapped on Sense UI over the top, it does a good enough job.
Yeah, I mean, I can see, to an extent, from a business point of view, I can see why they'd want to go it completely their own and have their own system.
Is there some argument for saying that, if HTC wants to go to the next level, it wants to be as big as Apple, say, does it need its own OS?
I don't know. I mean, you look at the success of it already, and a lot of people are, buying HTC phones and commenting on the user experience from it. I mean, what more do they want than an open source bit of kit that allows them to do everything
exactly,
they want?
Exactly. And the Winmo ones, it's like, well, we'll see how, like, what's it called? Series 7 of phone, or whatever the hell Winmo is now going to be called. We'll see whether that's any better. But, like, people have liked their phones because they've made, HTC have managed to make Windows Mobile usable and not, literally turn you into a homicidal maniac. And then with Android, they're very good. But, yeah, you just get, so with the tie-up with Android gives them access to the Android marketplace, which, okay, isn't as good as the iPhone App Store, but it's still better than anything else. How, from scratch, and this is basically what Palm tried to do, are you going to get a kind of App Store that's brimming with stuff to buy? It seems you can't, basically. So, I don't know. I don't know if it would be a great move.
If HTC did buy, would that be the end for their Android phones, do you think?
No, that Android hasn't had to do that Windows thing. They've just slapped their Sense UI over the top. So they're still running, one of the few manufacturers that run dual systems at the moment with Windows and Android.
With Android in particular, because it's open source, you don't need Google's permission to use Android. So it's not like they'd never be able to go back, were they, to try with their own OS. Or
the only thing that could be is that with the patents or patents, but perhaps we don't know about that Palm have that they could employ.
Well, if HTC had Palm's patents, which go back donkey's years, and basically there is a bit of a grand standoff between Apple and Palm at the moment. Basically, they're both probably infringing each other's patents, but neither will ever sue because they both have so many patents themselves that they're using of the other side, sort of thing. So if HTC got Palm's patents, suddenly HTC, becomes very powerful. In the same way that HTC's had to trade very carefully on, multi-touch and things like that. Well, if it has all of Palm's patents, then suddenly it becomes pretty powerful again.
Well, it does give them an avenue for retaliation to Apple's current suit against them, I suppose.
Exactly.
But I just can't, beyond that, but that's almost just like politicking and dicking about. I can't see any reason for HTC to buy Palm.
What has gone wrong? I mean, apart from the apps, or maybe it is just the apps, what has gone wrong with Palm OS? Because, it was T3's Hot 100, top of Hot 100 product. It is, for all intents and purposes, still is an awesome phone. And it came out, we were talking about it 2 years ago,
The thing is,
it was well ahead of its time.
It's a great phone, and it was in development for a long time, and they've obviously thought long and hard about it. I think the problem was that pretty much the same time, you had a raft of brilliant phones coming out as well. And it, so it didn't seem revolutionary. It didn't seem like it was doing anything better than
anyone
else.
I just don't agree that it's a great phone. I don't think anything went wrong with Palm's operating system because the operating system is really good. But the phone, I think, like people, most people buy phones on a bit of an impulse decision. And I think there's three things that killed it, which is one, it looks really plasticky and doesn't feel very nice. And I hate to say it, but that is what a lot of people go on. And I don't think there's any wrong with that. In fact, it's only got 8 gigabytes of storage, which immediately seems a bit feeble compared to like the Apple's inbuilt storage or any number of phones which have a micro SD slot and therefore can have theoretically unlimited storage if you don't mind carrying a box of micro SD cards around with you. And the third thing was no apps.
Yeah,
it's which isn't the fault of the OS, but it is linked to the OS.
It's a bit like HTC fell into kind of the problem Rover had. It just couldn't bring out new models. It didn't have the
Palm.
Enough. This is what I mean. Rover couldn't bring out new cars. It just had to keep updating the old ones. And Palm is in that kind of situation because it doesn't have the money, the reserves to just keep bringing out new models, updating them all the time. You know, six different models a year.
They basically
HTC can. It's relying on that one model, and it's looking old now.
They basically had to do what Apple did, though. They had to come out with a phone that just knocked it out of the park first ball.
Yeah, reinvented.
And
it
just didn't.
Didn't quite make
it. I mean, what iPhone had going for it was it didn't really have any competitors when it came out. The Palm, when it came out, was immediately compared to the iPhone. I'm sorry, you put those two phones next to each other. You can go into whether the web OS is better, whether it's more powerful, whether the processor is a bit faster or whatever. You put those two phones next to each other, nobody in their right mind would pick up the Palm and go, oh, well, I prefer that. Yeah. It's got a really sharp edge on it, and it's made of the type of plastic that you normally, like, you know, sort of cheap cooking utensils might be made out of. It's like...
Well, it is up for sale. There are some possible other buyers. Lenovo is one. They sort of got into handsets, got out of handsets, now looking to get back into handsets. Huawei, or Huawei, which they're the kind of biggest phone company you never knew. They make all the 3D dongles.
Yeah.
3G.
Yeah, 3G.
You've been drinking, Dan. He's getting all your words wrong. It's only me that does that.
They make all the 3G dongles. And Dell has counted itself out, but Nokia is one of those companies that has sniffed around Palm before.
Well, you could see, you could, you know. Well, that's where you could see the patent thing coming into play with maybe Nokia, you know, it actually could, making a phone a that's a decent.
Yeah, there's a lot of technologies there that I guess Nokia would want.
If there's anybody out there who could really do with having an operating system that doesn't absolutely suck ass, then yeah, I can see why Nokia would be interested in.
And someone like Nokia would probably be able to kind of generate more apps, you know, with the Palm OS. Just the sheer scale.
Yeah, that
of Nokia,
that might be a more
people might start developing for it.
Do they? I mean, do they have enough cash? Nokia these days. I mean, because Sony Ericsson again could. But I don't think they would be interested.
But Nokia still sell twice as many phones as anyone else worldwide. I think
we're not sure how, but they do.
Do they make any money out of it though? That's the question.
Well, that's true. Anyway, enough speculation because it's time to say, here is the news. Yes, we've got an iPod, iPad, heck, we've even got two. But sadly, for the rest of you, the wait just got longer. Apple says the pad won't be going international for another month because of massive demand in the States.
Yep, 500,000 were sold in the first week in the US, meaning we won't now see one until the end of the month. Pre-orders with O2 and Apple will start on the 10th of May. O2 said this week it would offer dedicated price plans, but gave no more deets than that.
I think we missed the crucial word next month. It won't seem until the end of next month. It's ridiculous. Anyway, Sony is promising us an affordable 3D TV in time for the World Cup. The Bravia HX800 will be out the beginning of June, along with some Sony 3D Blu-ray movie releases, finally, including Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, to appreciate on the Bravia's 1080p stereoscopic screen.
Wicked.
Just don't expect to see any 3D games from the World Cup on it. Only Spain and the US will have 3D broadcasts. Instead, we'll have to pile into cinemas for our fix. If you want to see England in 3D, you have to wait till the quarterfinals at the earliest, because none of our group games or our games in the first knockout stage will be in 3D.
Can you believe that? And at primary schools on Merseyside are set to use Grand Theft Auto 4 to teach kids about gun and knife crime. Here's how you do it, kids. Get Real will show pupils clips from GTA, Bugs Bunny, and Itchy and Scratchy, and ask them to label them as good real life, bad real life, not real life, or not sure.
Cute outrage from Rent-A-Quote groups in the Daily Mail. Margaret Morrissey of the Family Group Parents Out Loud called it dreadful and heartbreaking for parents who try to shield their kids from these sort of things. Good luck with that, Margaret.
It's good luck. How many parents on Merseyside have managed to shield their kids from Grand Theft Auto 4?
I know sometimes people on Merseyside have a slightly tenuous grasp on reality, but who exactly is going to see any of those things and think it's real life? Well, even the youngest kids must be able to tell the difference between some computer graphics and real life.
You say that.
A bunny being hit in the face with an iron so its face goes the shape of an iron.
I think that's the point that they're meant to leave with. They're meant to see that, you know, sort of...
Don't hit people in the face with an iron in real life. Yeah. You can only do it in cartoons.
Going on the rampage in your car and slashing people, you know, is fine for video games. But
it's a lot of fun in video games, but not in real
life. Not in real life.
Okay, okay.
Kids, okay? So remember that. Anyway, time to find out. Incidentally, that 3D thing, I'm still really pissed off about Sony with that, with the England at the World Cup. Not only because when we said last week that they're not showing any of our group games, I was like, well, at least, you know, we get to the knockout stages.
Mm.
But no, they're not showing any of the Group C knockout games.
Yeah.
So, which is our group.
Well, it's entirely possible that we won't get to the knockout stages. Yeah. So it might be moot. But
the first chance of seeing England in 3D would be at the quarterfinals. But even then, they're only showing three of the four quarterfinals. So it's quite possible that we would have to get to the semis just to appear in 3D.
Is it a rights thing?
No,
it's just everybody hates England.
It's basically because they've got these fans forums or something like that all over the continent, all over the world, actually. There's quite a few all over the place. There's one in Paris. There's one in Berlin. There isn't one in England. So there's no right. place to go and watch in a big, you know, in a big city square, the 3D game, which is kind of what they're doing in Paris and Berlin and things
I'm
like that.
I'm not being funny, but who wants to see England in 3D? Who wants to see Wayne Rooney in high def?
Just to sort of say you saw the first World Cup in 3D.
I wonder whether it's because we've seen it so much in the UK that people have decided, actually, we don't want to see football in 3D.
I think it's because we suck at football. Like, I suppose it'd be quite a good 3D shot as like Peter Crouch balloons it into Row Z from the 6-yard box. If you happen to have a camera in Rose Ed, you'd get quite an impressive 3D shot of it coming towards you.
He's got a pretty good scoring record for England.
Yeah.
Well, he does, but against the poorer opposition,
He didn't manage to score against Portsmouth in the FA Cup, so that's about on a par with, I don't know, what nation.
He did score a game in the last World Cup where he basically grabbed onto the dreadlocks of the Trinidad
Tobago defender
and used it to sort of swing himself around them and head the ball in.
Yep.
Which, I don't know, not being a football expert, I didn't think you were allowed to do that. But
you're not. And I was at that game in the stand, quite high up.
And you saw it.
And you could see it blatant, quite blatant. How the referee missed that, I've no idea.
Yeah. Totally good. Anyway, time to find out what you've been tweeting. What have you got there, Duncan?
What have I got here? Well, I'll tell you. On HTC possibly buying Palm OS, Wiggs says, I've been waiting for HTC to go it alone. Who says that? It's like every night for the last 2 years he's gone to bed going, when are HTC going to go it alone? Their UI is so good, if only they weren't pulled down. Anyway, their builds are undeniably first rates, but let down only by Winmo. Android showed them.
Haha.
What does that mean?
I think it means, they made the best that they could of Winmo's mobile. They've done a great job with Android. Just think what they could do with their own... I'm paraphrasing here.
With
their own OS.
I don't know that I entirely follow the logic of that.
Rich Scherer has something to say.
Yeah, hi T3. I was wondering why Apple don't make TVs. They should, as they specialise in audio-visual. They would look stunning too.
Again, who goes to bed at night? I wonder, why do Apple not make TVs?
Well, they do make the Apple TV.
Yes, which isn't a TV.
Which is not a TV, no. It's a little...
I guess it would make sense to build Apple TV into a TV, perhaps. But, you know, I mean...
Maybe not for...
Yeah.
It's a completely different set of technologies.
Apple specialise in multimedia, but they don't specialise in making screens
LED.
A computer screen is different to a TV screen.
Yeah,
Apple did make they came out with the LED cinema display a couple of years ago.
Right.
So you could plug an Apple TV box into that.
Yeah. Mm. You can use any monitor. I mean, they make very nice computer monitors, but I don't know how suited they'd be to watching telly.
Rich Shearer, I'd check out the Apple LED cinema display that came out a few years ago. That's probably the closest thing they've done so far.
Or if you want something that looks a little bit like it might have been made by Apple and is kind of obscenely overpriced. So you get that kind of Apple feeling of quality, Lurvy.
Yeah, we were discussing kind of these last week. Get a Lurvy.
That's not exactly a recommendation, but if you want to play over the odds for a telly made by somebody who doesn't know how to make tellies,
they are
get
Apple,
a Lurvy.
Apple-esque. Sticking with Apple, a collection of tweets are on it finally allowing the Opera mini browser onto the marketplace. Florzo96. It's just incredibly fast. After you've loaded the page for the first time, my new Safari replacement. So thumbs up for Opera Mini there. Paul Drew, Opera Mini is fast on iPhone, but not six times as fast, which I think is what Opera were claiming. Well done to Apple for allowing it. I suspect most will try it and revert to Safari.
It won't, apart from anything else, it won't be as well integrated, will it? What happens if you click a link in an email? It'll always default to Safari, won't it?
Yes, George Aston says it might be a bit faster, but it's not as simple and child-friendly a Safari.
I've not used Opera for a while, but the last time I tried to use an Opera browser, I just nearly... That's why I'm bald now. Okay. I pulled out all of my hair.
Faster, but not necessarily better.
Yeah.
Okay, Luke, time for your Gadget of the Week.
So yeah,
doesn't need that on the end.
This week, after sort of months of speculation and us queuing up in the States to get it, we've got an iPad.
We had
two at the gadget show, and have to say they went down.
We couldn't actually pinch them away from the stands just to do the podcast, even because there were queues of.
There would have been riots.
Yeah. So we have it with us now.
And you know, we've reviewed it. You can see our review online at t3.com. Uh-huh. We've had a good play with it. And I think the general thought of it is that, yes, it is just a big iPod Touch,
but what a big iPod Touch.
And I think really that, I think what Apple have done, are they've created for the first time a computer that anyone can use for 95% of the basic tasks that most people use. Anyway, it is a gorgeous thing. I've been using it solidly for a week now, out and about at home, and I honestly haven't loaded up my laptop.
Oh, really?
In a week.
Okay. Just because you've got a rather nice case for it there as well.
This is a Griffin sent me this morning. They do lots of nice cases, but now it just looks like a Filofax, looks like something from 1984.
Somebody else had one that looked a bit like a very posh oven glove.
It's very ashes to ashes, that one, I have to say.
It is. You can totally see how maybe people in a business environment would work. This little business card holders.
Yeah, it elevates it a bit. Yeah.
Are we going to say
to business status?
Expense receipts?
Nice. Yes.
Did we mention this last week? Are we going to say what every? I swear to God, every single person who looked at it at the T3 stand at the gadget show.
We did say it, but it bears repeating because, as you say, literally almost every single person picked it up and said,
"It's heavier than I thought it was going to be."
Like word for
literally
word,
literally every single time.
Yeah,
but it is.
It is.
It is heavier than we thought it was going to be.
No, it was exactly as heavy as I thought it was going to be. But then I'm just that much more perspicacious than most people.
It's not, you know, don't get us wrong, it's not going to weigh you down. But that weightiness that it has, is that an attractive thing, do you think?
It feels more solid, but I've found that it's only the 20-minute, half-an-hour bursts of actually holding it in front of me until I have to put it down and either browse, kind of like looking face down at it, or because I haven't got a stand at the moment. Or typing on it. Typing on it when you're actually holding it is quite difficult.
One of the ways that it isn't just simply like a big iPod Touch is if obviously the classic way of typing on an iPhone or iPod Touch is kind of one or two handed, but holding it in your hand whilst using your thumb or your other hand to type. You can't really do that with the iPad, at least not comfortably anyway.
Yeah. And it's if you're commuting and it's not something you can just pull out of your pocket and search for something online. I've been using my iPhone for doing that, but for long sort of like longer journeys when you can have it out in front of you. The only problem with that at the moment is that whenever I've got it out, I've been distracted by someone that stopped me and asked what it is. Even the train ticket inspector yesterday on my way up to Birmingham sat down with me for 10 minutes so I could give him a demo of exactly what it was, because he's never seen anything like it his entire life. But cool. I mean,
people just love it though. That's the thing. It's like
it's clearly going to be a big. I mean, despite all our, you know, I still think
exactly the same thing, which I thought all along, which I said I thought it was going to be a very nice thing, which I personally wouldn't want to buy, and I still do. Yeah. But it just markets itself, because as soon as it's in a shop, you know, as soon as it was on our stand, everybody wanted to touch it, everybody wanted to pick it up, everybody wanted to play with it, and nobody needed to be told what to do with it.
Exactly.
And there's we were there to answer questions, and it was always the same questions: how much will it cost, and when will it come out? And do you think Flash will ever work on it? To which it was like, we don't know, probably about 400 quid. And no, never. But Yeah, it's just everything is self-explanatory, and everything is. You don't even need to have used an iPhone before. If you've used an iPhone before, it's literally there's nothing you need.
And there
to
are
learn.
No instructions in the box. You just take it out, turn it on. It's loaded up within 3 seconds. And for all age groups, it's just an intuitive piece of tech.
Yeah, I think even like sort of power users, quote unquote, although they won't like the spec, they won't like various things that are missing. They will ask what we've been asking ever since it was announced, which is what exactly do you do with it? Does it have a USP? No, not really.
But
you can't not be impressed by how slick the user experience is.
And we've had no Wi-Fi problems at all since we've had it as well.
But damn them, Apple, they've done it again.
Apart from in... And it's selling really well as well,
isn't
it?
Well, it's sold half a million in its first week in the US, which is, I think, ahead of what they were expecting because they've had to delay the international launch. It now means we'll be able to pre-order, as we were saying, on the 10th of May and get one at the end of May. O2 put out, when that was announced, it was going to be a month late, put out the world's shortest press release that simply said... We will have sort of specific.
So did Orange.
Yeah.
And exactly the same Vodafone. Time. And Vodafone.
So
it was a pre-written, probably by Apple.
Ah, there we are. It was like a one-line press release, wasn't it? Basically saying we will have specific tariffs for this.
But on the plus side, we're incredibly smug now that no one else in the UK can get one, and we've got ours for another 6 weeks.
Well, there
you are.
So,
it's pretty good. Because not only, we had the only one at the Gadget Show Live. Well, yeah. We had two.
Yes.
There were two in the entire building.
It's just showing off, basically, isn't it? There's the Android one from Germany as well, which we probably should mention.
What's that called? The Wii?
Oh, God.
Well, once again, we've researched.
But thoroughly.
But you know the one we mean, listeners. The German one.
The pricing's come out for that. It starts at about £400 for the non-3G version. 500 odd for the 3G version, 16 gigabyte.
And it runs on Android.
And it runs on Android, and it has a camera, and various other things that are missing. It's better spec'd. I mean, it won't, it won't sell anywhere nearly as well.
The reason this will succeed over any other tablet is because of the back end, because of iTunes, because of the App Store, and because of the iTunes Store.
And because it's phenomenally easy to use, all those reasons. All the same reasons Apple sells anything, really. We speculated about it for months, about its name, about what it looked like, the specs. We finally got our hands on one, and now we've finally got the review. So head to t3.com. You can see exactly how it does. Now, as we mentioned... Oh, hold on. I need to do the...
Slick.
People would have been writing in. last week we were at the Gadget Show Live. We stuck around for the last weekend to mop up more of the show. There were a couple of launches there, actually. It wasn't just... 3D TVs were there, but of course they'd already all been announced. But smaller launches. I spotted Blobbo for the PC. Did you come across this?
The balls.
The balls.
Squash balls.
The squash balls, yes, exactly. Which, they're kind of like Wii controllers for your PC, but they look... As the descriptions just then probably attested, nothing like Wii controllers.
Yeah, but they look like squash balls.
Yeah, they did. And they kind of worked in a similar way to Wii controllers, and they had some games that looked very similar to Wii Sports.
Except,
it was like a 10-pin bowling one, wasn't there?
But that was the difference, that it was a kind of like same principle as a Wii controller, but the games were rubbish.
I have to
put it less diplomatically.
I had a try of the bowling, and it was not a patch on Wii Sports bowling.
We did talk to the guy who was behind the company that's bought them out, and the technology inside them sounds very interesting and very... lots of it. He was saying, well, there's a barometer in there and a
Bluetooth receiver for starters, just in this tiny little
thing. And it can detect,
but it just didn't seem to work very well. It wasn't very responsive.
My main, apart from that, and to be fair, they're hardware manufacturers and not software manufacturers, so maybe that the response was an issue around these games. But I just couldn't quite see what the usefulness was of it being the size and shape of a squash ball. I'm not saying it's necessarily a bad thing, but I can't see what it's got. What's good about that exactly? You can hold it in your hand in a closed fist. Well, but then so what?
He said that it was small enough that kids could grab it as well.
Yeah, I mean, because of course they can't pick up a Wii controller. You'd break your arm if you're a child.
That was his comeback.
Well, the only thing, it was cheap at £70. It's just one saving grace. But then, a Wii's not that expensive.
It's not particularly cheap because it's only a controller.
Yeah, so one controller for £70.
Right in saying a Wii controller on its own is about £20.
Yeah. So I think if they used that sort of technology and maybe implemented it in other things, I'm not sure.
The fact that it is so small means it could be used in all manner of other things, I suppose.
He said you could put it in your trainer.
I can understand that. He said we use it to track athletes' training.
Okay.
And I said, do you find it slows them down because they've got a bloody great squash ball in their sock?
Did
and he said
it?
No.
Okay.
He looks a bit pissed off, actually.
The other thing, that's the blobbo then. Freeview HD, which is already out there, starting to come into its own. There was one company called Threeview.
Yeah, this doesn't work in my accent at all because I'm from South London.
Yeah.
Threeview and Freeview.
Yeah, pretty much the same. So Threeview, number three, view, if you get that. Offering 500 gigabyte boxes with Freeview HD, with SkyPlayer, with iPlayer. I mean, you know, nice little package, I thought.
Yeah, SkyPlayer's come into a couple of... Yeah. Like Humax have apparently having SkyPlayer in all their boxes. So.
And, you know, you just need an aerial. You know, I think that's a...
If you want iPlayer, surely you need...
You would need...
Ethernet
Your Ethernet running to it as well. But, you know, I think there's a real market here for... You've got your main... Excuse me, your main telly. It's plugged into to Sky or Virgin or whatever, or Freesat. But, you know, your bedroom telly, your kitchen telly, they are not, unless you've got an incredibly expensive Sky setup, plugged in. A Freeview HD box, perfect. You know, because they're all HD ready tellies, I assume most people now.
Freeview HD is going to be, I mean, it's already signed to appear in loads of, it's just built into loads of tellies as well.
Absolutely brilliant. You know,
but how much is that, I mean, is that round about what you pay for a normal Freeview HD box?
It's £300 for a 500 gigabyte box, which is
slightly
at a premium, but not terrific.
I think the iPlayer is interesting. They've integrated that into there.
Yeah, iPlayer's getting into everything now, isn't it? I mean, it's, you know...
It's like the success story
Web 2.0. And I still can't understand why ITV Player, Sky Player, 4OD, why they just haven't, they don't capture the imagination as much as iPlayer. I don't know why that is.
Because I think ITV Player struggles because everything on ITV is rubbish. Sky is always a bit more.
Yeah, I get it. Once they're all integrated, is it Seesaw or Kangaroo? I can't keep up anymore. But
Seesaw's launched now.
Right, there we are. That one. Get that one. Which includes them all. Anything else from the Gadget Show Live caught the eye?
Yeah, there was one stand which had it had two things, actually. One of which was an enormous flying silver dolphin, which isn't something you see every day. It was filled with helium. And it literally swam through the air with flippers. Yeah. Very organic sort of movement. Really quite trippy, actually. I really like that. Yeah. But that was mainly an advertising thing, and it was to advertise... what was the name of the company?
Festo.
Mm. Terrible name for a company, I have to say. But anyway, it was to advertise this gaming chair they had. And gaming chairs, okay, we all know, a bit crap. But this didn't vibrate a bit. This was proper full-on hydraulics moving in real time with like driving games. But not. It wasn't even just hydraulics. It was some sort of... Because you know how hydraulics, they're kind of like... chunk. This was silent.
Sounds like...
It was using some kind of... I don't know if it's like... Super hydraulics, anyway.
Do any of you remember years ago...
16 grand, if you wanted one, apparently. I think you have to have them built to order.
And you can only play one driving game.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, okay. But even so.
Yeah. Well, there was years ago, I mean, quite a few years ago now, I think there's one in the Chocodero, that 360-degree...
Oh, Afterburner.
Yeah, it was Afterburner with the 360-degree seat.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
It was. Many a milkshake spewed all over that.
It would spin you upside down. It's incredible. I mean, it was incredible just to sit and watch someone on it. It was vomit inducing to be on it, but still.
I thought the Roland stand was really good as well. They had a couple of new products called the Octopad.
Yeah.
Which was just, if you just wanted to muck about with drumming and creating samples and loops, it looked like a really, really fun thing. They had a session drummer in demoing it.
It was good.
Yeah, it looked really, really good fun. I'm not sure how much it cost, but I definitely think we need one of those for the office, Roland,
if
you're listening.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, Gadget Show Live next year, they're talking about making it even bigger.
Yep.
They're talking about going to 8 days.
Even more stands.
100,000 people and opening up another hall.
Yeah. Did I tell you the thing about the brain-controlled controller last week?
I saw that. I don't think you mentioned
it. I went over to look at that because I always love the brain-controlled things. It's like, is it going to do something this time? But I went over to the stand and it wasn't working. And I was talking to the guy and he said, oh, yeah, I'm trying to talk to my tech guy, but he's in California, just waiting for him to wake up. And the problem was that he couldn't connect the brain thing to the computer that it was meant to be running because there was a problem with Bluetooth, which I just thought was hilarious. You're supposed to be able to send your brain waves to it, but Bluetooth, that wasn't working. Mm. Something rather ironic about that. I was like, would you be able to send me some kind of brain message? Yeah. I'm going to go away now. Can you send me some sort of brain message in half an hour when it's up and running?
A bit of telepathy.
But he didn't. So I don't think that device works that well.
I think just the last, maybe the last thing to finish is I was amazed at how many people just looked as though they genuinely loved 3D, which we've been talking about it for ages. We've seen it quite a lot. And we were in this kind of like position where we see this stuff all the time. Perhaps we get a bit blasé about it. Perhaps we look at it too much and analyse it a bit too much. But just the amount of people that just thought it was genuinely earth-shatteringly different.
I have to say, Duncan and I met one person at least, one person who'd actually bought a 3D telly at the show. They went there, saw it, was so impressed, put their money down, I'm getting it.
It was it wasn't quite as simple as that, was it? It was like a kind of rather, shall we say, pampered child who had basically convinced his mother to say right there and then, I'll put down the money for it, which isn't quite the same thing.
But yeah, but the reason she was talking to us is she didn't really know what content that was going to be on it, so we had to fill her in on what that was. But
she just paid for it, and we were saying, basically, there isn't any content, but you've just wasted your money.
The good news is, what we were telling him was there's basically, you know, Sky's going to start till September. The only 3D Blu-ray title is Monsters and Aliens.
So now you can get Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs.
Get that for your PS3. But now, you can get Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs come June the 1st and a few other from Sony. So they are rolling out.
And gaming as well.
We did tell them that, you know. He was quite pleased about that.
But I was just quite shocked. Quite shocked at the amount of people that actually thought one, never seen it before, which is fair enough, but just
It will have been the most people's first chance to see it, unless, you know, they've been in one of the shops in London that has it on display, or they've, you know, been at Las Vegas with us or something like that. You can't see 3D.
That is true. I mean, the public don't. Yeah. The general public aren't as blasé as us they don't get to see things.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and they're just less cynical people, generally. You know.
Yeah, there you go. It is amazing. You know, we get very blasé about these things, but it's, you know, first time you see it, it does blow your socks off. And I think as well, the first time we all saw it, it wasn't quite, you know, it wasn't
ready.
Quite there, and our first experiences were a bit disappointing. Now people are seeing it, it's pretty polished.
It wasn't 3D ready.
There we are. There we are. Anyway, that is about it for this week. Remember, T3.com has all the latest, including that iPad review. T3 is on the shelves, and we're on iTunes every Friday. Till next week, I've been Dan Maudsley, and you've been listening to the T3 Podcast.